mit The Residents. Over the course of a recording career spanning several decades, The Residents have cloaked their lives on music in a haze of willful obscurity. The band members, supposedly four, have never identified themselves by name, have always appeared in public in disguise, usually tuxedo, top hat, and giant highball masks, and have continually refused to grant interviews. Drawing inspiration from fellow innovators, included Harry Parch, Sun Ra, and Captain Beefheart, the Residents channeled the spirit of American music into their own satirical vision. Their mercurial blend of electronics, tape music, avant-pop, classical symphonies with weird vocals has allowed them to produce ambitious composition as well as iconoclastic reinterpretation from John Philip Sousa to James Brown, from The Beatles to Elvis. Nowadays, the Residents are more than ever at the forefront of theatrical performance, video art, and multimedia interaction with collector's compilation DVDs or short films on live concert footage. But we are still no closer to knowing who or what is behind those masks. I am Jean-Philippe Renaud, and in 2001, when the Residents were in France for the Equiflix tour, I was lucky enough to be granted an interview with the official spokesman of the band, Homer Flynn. Homer has also designed most of the band's artwork, has directed their videos, and although you would never admit it on tape, he is one of the group's founder members. In his role of official spokesman, Homer shared with me, or perhaps invented, versions of the Residents' incredible history.
The Residents have never really considered themselves to be musicians, or at least not very good musicians. They've never been the type that would go and sit around and play their instruments and sing their songs. Everything was always created in the studio, and it was usually created, you know, one track or two or three tracks. And in a way, for the Residents, they've almost worked backwards. You know, most groups, the first thing they do is they put together a group of people and they write some songs and they start playing some songs. And they get some dates and they start playing at some clubs and they try to create a following. Whereas the Residents went to the studio first. And then 25 years later, they put a band together and went out and started playing.
We are simple, you are simple. Life is simple too. We are simple, you are simple, life is simple.
After the summer flood in San Francisco during the late 60s, the residents moved from their native Louisiana to the Bay Area. There, in 1971, they built their own studio and started building their own legend, too. It all began with a very, very curious dog.
When they moved into their first studio, what had been in that studio before was a magazine about dogs. And there was a giant printing press, and one of the first things that had to happen was that that printing press had to be taken apart, because that's where the residents wanted to build their studio. So all over that, this was a small warehouse building, all over that building were photographs of dogs. And one of these photographs was a little Polaroid of a dog dressed up in a Santa Claus suit. And the residents just loved it. They absolutely were crazy about it. And they would make all these jokes about Santa Dog. And then all of a sudden, they came to realize that not only is dog God spelled backwards, but if you rearrange the words of Santa, it becomes Satan. So it's like Santa Dog and Satan God became just, they thought that was just the most wonderful thing in the world. So at that point, they started creating this project around, you know, Satan God, Santa Dog.
Santa Dog's at Jesus' feet, Santa Dog's at Jesus' feet, Santa Dog's at Jesus' feet, there's no presence in the future.
In the future.
Flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the slits. A flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the slits. A flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the slits. A flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the slits. A flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the slits.
They definitely sent a copy of Santa Dog to Richard Nixon. And, he didn't listen to it. It was returned. But they didn't really expect that it would be his taste. But they thought they should at least give him the opportunity. You know, they sent him out to all kind of different people. When they did that originally, they did 500 of them. And then in the process of creating it, you know, everything about it was done by hand. The record was actually pressed at a pressing plant, but the covers were all done by hand. They were manufactured by hand. And in the process of doing 100 of them got destroyed. So only 400 of them were ever completed. And residents didn't have 400 friends to send these out to. They sent them out to all their friends, but then they started sending them out to, you know, Frank Zappa and President Nixon and the Pope and Mother Teresa. Anybody that they could think of that it sounded good, like a good idea to send it to, they sent them out. And
the
residents have always enjoyed poking fun at icons. They love to take icons and, you know, so often icons are just people that are full of hot air. And maybe not because of themselves, maybe because other people have helped fill them full of hot air. So they made a little fun of the Beatles with that cover.
The pop icons have always been easy prey for the Residents, especially the Beatles. The cover of Meet the Residents, their first album, was a copy of a Beatles record cover where the famous four were transformed and mutilated with tribal tattoos. That was pretty scandalous for the time, but even more outrageous was the story that was told afterwards. Some say that the four Residents were none other than the original Beatles who turned their back on fame and glory to the anonymous world of experimental music. Of course, it wasn't true, but at that time, anything, any mythology was possible.
Well, the Residents have always felt that, you know, mythology was an interesting idea, an interesting concept. When you watch the way life works, it seems so often that the mythology that gets created has more to do with the needs of the culture at that time than it does with the individual or individuals that are the focus of that mythology. If you think about Jesus, for instance, we have no idea who Jesus was at this point. All we know is the mythology, and we'll never know. So anyway, this whole idea of creating larger-than-life imagery and mythology, was intriguing to the Residents from the very beginning.
Some classical instruments can be heard in Residents songs. Most of the music is electronically composed. This serenade, extract from the album Tune of Two Cities, is a good example of what state-of-the-art technology enabled them to do at that time.
You know, the Residents have always used new technology to kind of point them in new directions, and the thing that is the most interesting with Tunes of Two Cities is that's when they got their first sampler. For the first time, they could have things that sounded like real violins or real trumpets because, you know, they could never play those instruments. So they took advantage of that. But once again, they took two radically different ideas. You know, one was to have the sounds of real instruments that played things that sounded more classical or whatever. The other thing was to take more of a music concrete idea and just record sounds and make music out of sounds. It was an emulator. Residents had emulator number 005, I think, and they definitely had one of the first ones. And loved it. It was their favorite instrument for a long time.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't mean nothing. No, it wouldn't mean nothing without a woman. Over the road, and man made the train to carry the heavy load, and man made the electric light to take us out of the dark. Baby girl, and a baby boy, man makes them happy, 'cause a man makes them toys, and after man makes everything he can.
Prizes for guessing who sang the original This Is a Man's World. We have already seen how the residents like poking fun at icons. But even James Brown himself admitted that he liked this one. In the video made to accompany the track, sharp observers might just recognize our guest of today, the official spokesman himself, Homer Flynn. In the second program on The Residents, we will still be with Homer. We will look at how their infamous eyeball mask came to be, and we will discover how The Residents' masterpiece, Eskimo, was created.